Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks. It's Chris Daly, and with my partner, Janice Maxwell, we like bringing you great stories and conversation with great Jamaicans doing great things. And do we have a treat for you this afternoon? We have an award-winning author. He's Kwame McPherson. He's a prolific writer. He's an entrepreneur, a poet, a mentor, an orator. He writes, he tells stories in using his expertise to demonstrate his skill as a modern-day Eldriot or storyteller from the Ghanaian conflict context. His prose reflects his travels, his experiences, and he contributes to various international magazines. Won't tell you much more. We'll tell you all in the, you'll find it more in the interview. So we look forward to an engaging and entertainment dialogue. Janice, take it away.
Oh, thanks, Chris. Kwame, it's a real pleasure to be talking to you today. So tell us about your Jamaican roots.
Oh, wow, my Jamaican roots. Well, I was born in the UK, London, mm-hmm. UK, but I migrated to Jamaica when I was very young. My father and my mother had divorced, and my father took myself and my brother to Jamaica. So so all of my formative years of growing up in Jamaica, and I grew up in Kingston. Went to school, worked in Kingston. I spent most majority of my formative life in Jamaica. I came away in 85 and basically ended up traveling and writing, really.
I see.
So my Jamaican roots is via both my mother and my father are Jamaican. My mother came from St. Catherine and my father came from Port Antonio.
I see. Yeah, I hear it. I hear the Jamaican accent, but I also hear the British. So you got a little you got a little twist of both, you know? And then you ended up migrating.
Funny enough.
Yeah.
What's the word? International, which means I'm virtually because I've lived in Canada too. I've lived in, like I said, lived in the UK and I lived in Jamaica. So I have a cross section of languages, so to speak, in terms of tonality.
Yeah, and I love accents in terms of, you know, where I can listen to a person. I live in Chicago, and so someone on say South Side, they sound very different from someone who sound on the West Side. And then they're like, how you know that I'm not that? I know. I love that, though. That's one of my things. You know, you're a man of words. What was the spark?
So I've been told.
So passionate about the power of literature and literacy.
Yes. Well, the thing is, well, growing up in Jamaica, you know, one of the things that we were encouraged to do was to be very creative. We used to write a lot of essays, a lot of poetry, a lot of stories. So even back in the day, we had the major newspaper, the Gleaner Company, had a newspaper for children called Children's Own. So a newspaper that was mainly for children. So from a very early age, we were also encouraged to write. And it just so happens that growing up, I obviously, as I got older, I kept reading a lot of books, reading a lot of Black authors, a lot of Caribbean authors. I just did it as a hobby. I only took it serious when I was in Canada, actually. Even though I was in the UK and stuff like that, is when I had moved to Canada for a while, and that's where the journey became more serious in terms of writing, because I was going through a particular time in my life at that time.
Well, what I really like about your, especially this particular book that we're featuring today, what I liked about it is that you could just hear all the aspects of Jamaica. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
For example, your Muma Nani, you know, that's our national hero. So tell
Definitely.
Us, or tell the what inspired you to write about that? Because I like that story.
I think there's a lot of stories that we have that we haven't fictionalized. We could be factual as well as fictionalized, right? Which means it's about a particular person, but then you can actually imagine what they would have been like at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And for myself, Mama Nani, or Nani, as she's known, is the only female national hero that we have.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me that we haven't heard a lot about her, fictionalized. Even though she's a factual person, she lived and breathed and everything else in the hills of Jamaica. But we there's not enough stories about her that we could create or imagine, you know. And for myself, I decided that I wanted to write about her and her impact. I remember, you know, she was an African woman who had led a guerrilla army against one of the most powerful empires
at
the time. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that in itself is phenomenal.
It is, yeah. And then what I liked about how this book is laid out is that each chapter is like a short story on its own. So, like, the next story was Kononoim Teal Until He Gone. You know? And then, so basically that's a Jamaican proverb. I don't know if other Caribbean people do that. I don't know if it's an African proverb or a Jamaican proverb, but it's certainly relatable in our community, you know?
Yes, it is.
Who are the characters that the proverb pertained to?
There's a couple of characters. Yeah, it's a couple of characters. There's Patrick and Denisha. And Patrick is basically, because as you know, in Jamaica, we tend to have a lot of people come over from abroad. So, and a lot of them want to experience Jamaica, i.e. go to dance hall and, you know, I mean, experience the real Jamaica. So the idea just came to me to write about a character who was in the British Army, serving in the British Army, on vacation in Jamaica, where he stays with his cousin Julie, who's another character. And they so happen to go out dance, and he meets this Julie's friend, who's called Denisha. Now, she's very popular in terms of, you know what I mean, influence on the socialite scene, but a ghettoized socialite scene. But she's also the girlfriend of a well-known local Don, or a feared, you know, criminal, so to speak, a gunman. And it so happens that he gets to meet her at this dance, and they hit it off, and the story then evolves whereby, you know, the title, Conan and all the news, I'm telling until it's gone, is basically what happens when something is gone. You don't know the value of it until it's gone. And the whole idea is that in the ending part is that Trevor didn't realize the value of Denisha because she's not gone with Patrick. So that's basically
Right. And in your story, the untold story, what a precocious child Duane was. Can you elaborate on that character?
Well, you see, and as you know, a wonderful dynamic to Jamaica and a Jamaican-ness is church. You know, we're a very religious people, and it occurred to me that I wanted to write something through a child's eyes in terms of his particular experience of church, really, and the fallacies of church, you know. And there's a lot of things that we can argue about, but that's for another debate. And it so happens that he's very inquiring, young mind, bright, you know, thirsty for knowledge, you know, as Jamaican children are. Because you can talk to the youngest of Jamaican child, and they will tell you what their ambitions are. Even at 3, 4, you know, they're very bright, very articulate, very aware of themselves. So I wanted to portray this Duane as being that type of child. And then he begins to work out in his own mind the relationship between him, his mother, and the pastor of a church. And really realizing at the end that the pastor of the church has much more of he's more involved than just being a pastor of a church in terms of his of who he is.
Absolutely. And in your I know. We're going to let the audience learn about Duane and his relationship with that pastor. Okay. In your story, what a feeling I'm feeling when Lord learns that many of the Bible stories were originally African stories. Was that the feeling you were writing in the title?
Yeah, it's you know, because it obviously comes from the song, right? Oh, what a feeling I'm feeling from Bob, right? And basically, it was a show based on my journey, in a sense.
That was a Bob reference. I didn't even realize that was a Bob reference.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's basically just about learning and Lloydy learning about when he's been on his journey, what he's been able to learn. And I wanted to portray myself in that kind of setting, whereby I'm abroad, but there's things about abroad that I'm comfortable with, and I started to learn about myself as an African Jamaican, so to speak, you know, and how that has impacted on myself and Jamaica to a great extent, through the stories that have been told, and of which the Bible is a part of our story rather than the other way around, you know. So that was the whole, that's the whole reason, and that like I said, that's more like, so a lot of these stories tend to have an underlying relationship with myself, but they're also my observation of all the things that take place.
Yeah, well, art imitates life, or life, or vice versa. You know, your story, Miss Daphne.
Exactly.
You wrote about the life of a Higla woman. Is this becoming a thing of the past, or Higla live and well in Jamaica? You tell the audience.
Well, you know, funny thing is,
tell the audience what a Higla woman is, because they may not know that.
I was just about to say.
Higla is
someone who sells. Now, they sell down the market, they sell on the streets, and basically because they have to have a livelihood. They have to, you know, find a way of making an income. So they sell anything from sweets to clothes to hair products to you name it. That's what they sell. Majority of these people are uneducated. They're illiterate for the most part, because they didn't have the opportunity to go to school, to high school or whatever, so they ended up selling goods. They buy and sell, basically. In my mind, I flipped it and I thought that they're so pivotal to the lifeblood of Jamaica to a great extent. If they're a market woman or they're selling dry goods or whatever, because I think they're entrepreneurs in their own right. They're entrepreneurs, and I think because a lot of people turn to this through poverty in order to send their children to school, in order to clothe and to feed their children or child. And so for me, I have a lot of utmost respect for them, because, and this story, in a sense, was my way of showing that. Because in the end, Miss Daphne, as you know, things happened to Miss Daphne, and it was my way of showing that these people are so important to us that we have to recognize that they have an important part to play in the lifeblood of Jamaica.
Quite true. Yeah.
You know?
So in the story, the fire there must steal.
Fire there must steal and think a cool breeze. Yeah.
That's another proverb, or is that your? Because we never hear that one day enough. So I'm gonna know if it's a proverb.
Oh, you never hear that one? No, it's a proverb.
It's a proverb, okay.
No, it's a proverb.
It's gonna be you.
Yeah, it's a proverb.
What does that mean?
It's
to our audience.
It means basically, it's for example, you think that there's an opportunity, right? So you think it's a good opportunity, but then when you take it out later on the line, it's not. So you see the opportunity has arisen. So you say, yeah, man, and you get kind of fired, but then you take one, say, hold on there. But to feel that cool breeze, because now you later realize that the same opportunity that you thought was so that got you empowered and got you, you know, enthusiastic and everything else, it isn't, and it basically tapers out to be nothing really, and that's basically what it means in that regard, in an intellectual way of explaining it. But the question that was risen about a country living, you know, still has been touched, but there are many reasons as to why a country is the way it is. And I think that's the beauty of a lot of developing countries to a great extent, and Jamaica being a developing country, because with the movement of people from country to town and abroad for better opportunities, country will always be country. I love country. I grew up in town, but I love country. And because it brings...
Like Christmas?
When you
get the country, Christmas or what? Or in the summer?
I go anytime. Anytime I'm in Jamaica, I'm there. And I tend to be in country more than I'm in town. I love town, you know, which is Kingston. But I love country because country has a resonance. There's an essence about country, you know, about the beauty, about the stillness, about there's a vibe, you know? There's a vibe.
Yeah.
And that's what draws me to country, that there's a particular vibe that I love. And I think that country will never lose that. You know, because people will be moving all the time. So, control out with the country, you know. Town. But what we have now, especially like in Jamaica now, where you have the new highway and everything else going right across the island, you'll find that there'll be urbanized areas within country, which is okay. But I just love deep country, because that's when you get the essence of what Jamaica really is.
Right. Yeah. And it's just an easier living. I mean, people don't realize
yes,
that.
Yes, it is.
Because I have relatives that
yes,
grew up in country and relatives that grew up. And I see that the children, my experience, I'm just talking for me, the children
yeah.
are much more manageable
yeah.
and they just don't
yes.
have that.
Yes.
That it's just an easier living. I think if you're a child, you should live in a country because
yeah.
it's just you're able to hold on to your childhood a little bit longer, I think. You know?
I agree.
You have to become an adult.
I do agree with you. I do agree with you.
And even in this country, I see that.
Yeah, well, like
yeah.
I said, because for me, like I said, because one of my best writing comes out when I'm in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that based on the fact that when I go to country, that for me, there's a particular vibration. There's something that draws out that essence of my writing that, and which
mm-hmm.
then gives it richness, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what country does for me. And I love country. I really do love country. And when I'm heading back, I intend to be in Portland because Portland is where I love Portland.
Yeah.
And Portland is one of the most beautiful parishes
in
Jamaica. You know?
It is. It is.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. So finish this sentence for us. In 5 years.
Yeah.
Because of your wizardry with words, Jamaica will be?
Jamaica will be the crown jewel of the Caribbean, since she cannot be anything else.
Ah, I love it. We love it. Yes, I will agree with you on that. We are a unique bunch of people, you know.
Yeah.
Jamaicans don't imitate people, but a lot of people tend to do some things. Well, I don't know whether it's real
yes.
or imagined. I want to have the Jamaican experience. So it really, you know, I mean,
yeah.
are you following stereotypes or are you imagining these things? But I do see
yeah.
a strong presence for the English speaking, and maybe in other country or the other, you know, of course there's the Spanish, French, and Dutch Caribbean
yeah.
too. But
yeah.
for the English speaking
yeah,
Caribbean, I think there is there's definitely a dominance. So do you have any closing
Definitely.
Nuggets you would like to share with our audience?
Yeah, there's a couple of things, because I tend to help other people, right? And there's a lot of stories that are coming out, and which is a beautiful thing about the diaspora is that there's so many, it's so rich.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other writers that someone I'm helping to write at the moment in terms of her experience of growing up in Jamaica and what that was like for her at the time when she was growing up and where she is today.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I would say is that I would leave a nugget in terms of supporting our Caribbean writers. You know, I encourage people, implore people to support our writers and the writing from across the diaspora. Buy my
mm-hmm.
material, buy their material, enjoy them, and hopefully they will get educated and be enlightened by them.
Right.
So, but yeah, that's basically what I would leave with. And anyone can get in contact with me if I can leave my details. By Googling Kwame MacPherson and for Facebook, Twitter, I'm all across all social media and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I would leave. Just buy my writing and buy other writings, because Caribbean
right.
writers, there's a renaissance that's taking place, I believe, in terms of Caribbean writing, because as you know, there's Calabash, which takes place
right.
in the next couple of weeks. And Calabash
right.
is a
Are you going to be
renowned,
one of those? Are you going to be one of the writers?
Not,
or you
not this time. I'll be
the next
year, the following year. Not this time, but
okay.
but I will definitely be there as a featured writer, and that's
right.
taking place in the next couple of weeks, and that's phenomenal.
Right.
It's international writing, you know,
writing
festival
look,
in Jamaica.
Why don't you let the audience learn about Calabash, because they probably don't know what some people. We know, but maybe some people who are listening
yeah.
to this podcast may not know what is the Calabash. Festival?
Right. Calabash is basically it's a festival, a book writing, you know, book author festival that started up by Kwame Dawes and Colin China. And Colin China is a personal friend of mine, and he's a New York bestseller for a book
mm-hmm.
called Waiting to New York bestseller.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's the book, yes. And him and Kwame Dawes started up Calabash, I think about 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens biannually, and basically it's just an international festival where writers from all over the world, majority of them come from Jamaica, are able to have a platform to feature their writing. Marlon James should be there, I think, this year, actually.
That
he's the one who won the Booker Prize.
Yeah, but
yeah,
and the word Calabash, it means.
Calabash means it's a dish, right? So I think it's a
right.
I think what the whole idea is a calabash is a dish where you eat out of, right? It's a coconut Polish dish that you eat out of. And I think that
that's
the
right.
whole concept is that calabash is like a mix-up, so people can now come and enjoy the food of writing.
Right, so it's like a platter, and then we serve these writers in different genres to know, oh, okay, I didn't know this, and then you learn about that. And we are so happy to have spent some time with you. So everyone, to learn more about Jamaican Diaspora, visit JamaicanDiaspora.com. To learn more about Chris Daly, visit DigitalToGrowMedia.com. And to learn more about Kwame McPherson, visit KwameMcPherson.com. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Bye now.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.